Rory O'Hagan, Tomás O'Leary here with you until 7pm this evening. A lot to get through on the show tonight. We're wrapping up all the day's action, including a win for Cork Camogie today against Kilkenny down in Porkeyrin. We'll also be discussing the Six Nations after Scotland's win over France has blown the entire tournament wide open. We'll talk to the young Cork boxer James Powers. He prepares to move to California on a full-time basis for the next stage in his career. We're going to talk to the Cork man who started a Zen MMA program away from men to practice good mental health and train in MMA at the same time as well. And we're going to get you up to date in the Premier League. United leading City in the Manchester Derby. You're listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. Glad you could join us on this Sunday evening. Rory and Tomás here with you for the next hour talking all things sport. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can text the show. 086-8104-106 is the place to send your text. You can send us a WhatsApp on that as well. Now, we have a pair of tickets as well to give away to Cork City and Bohemians happening this coming Friday night. Down at Turner's Cross Course, Cork City beaten over the weekend against St. Pat's. Disappointing result for City as they look to get back now. Back on track against Bohemians at Turner's Cross on Friday. You can hear our interview with Neil Fenn on the Big Red Bench podcast from yesterday. But if you'd like a pair of tickets to Cork City and Bohemians, all you have to do is text the words Rebel Army and your name to 086-8104-106, 086-8104-106. You can send us a WhatsApp with that as well, and we will draw out the winner before the end of the programme, before we hand you over to Alan Donovan for Green on Red. All right, going to wrap up today's action. Tomás, how are you, sir?
I'm great, Rory. Yourself?
Not too bad, no, at all, indeed. It's been a kind of a weird weekend for sport, I suppose. We've been kind of in a holding pattern because the Ireland Italy game was called off or postponed. We didn't know what to do with ourselves over the weekend.
Yeah, I think it's been a tough one. Look, it's obviously blown the Six Nations wide open, the result with Scotland, but look, with everything that's going on with the virus, look, it doesn't look like the Italian game will be played anytime soon. So yeah, even the French game next week will probably be in doubt now. So it's kind of, it's weird times for sport, definitely. And even in the UK, you see the United City game, you'd question how long more that they'll be allowed, let people into stadiums. And even with Cheltenham now, the next few days, it's probably worth too much to the economy at the moment before they cancel it. But yeah, it's strange times for everyone, really, business and sport. So
yeah,
it's mad.
Certainly is.
Maybe the Cork hurlers are better off. They're not in any league knockout stages. But look, today's action, we'll go straight to the Premier League, where in the Manchester Derby, it's currently United leading 1-0. Meanwhile, Chelsea have beaten Everton, and Guy Swindles was there.
Chelsea 4, Everton 0. Chelsea understandably taking their feet off the accelerator a bit after really wrapping up these points within the first hour of the match, by which time they were already 4 goals ahead. They've created further chances since. There's been an excellent first Premiership start for Billy Gilmore, who's been at the heart of much of their best stuff from Chelsea. Everton just simply have never really got going. One of those days. Chelsea 4, Everton 0.
Yeah, cracking win for Chelsea this afternoon. Manchester United still leading 75 minutes on the clock there at Old Trafford. Anthony Martial with the goal on the half-hour mark, which was a good goal, maybe soft from a City point of view, but City on the attack here as they try and get back into this game. I'd imagine it's kind of a weird feeling for Manchester United fans, knowing that if they win here, it's just handing the Premier League title to Liverpool.
Yeah, but look, I think their whole focus now is to get into the top four. Obviously with the revenues that they're relying on to at United in particular, being in the Champions League, attracting players as well. So yeah, look, they have to get the win. I think it's a done deal anyway, the old Premier League, unfortunately.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but as things stand, if United were to win 1-0 here, after if they were to get all 3 points here, they'd be 3 points behind Chelsea in that fourth Champions League spot.
And earlier in the Championship, Derby County ran out 3-0 winners over Blackburn Rovers. Derby are now 5 points off the playoff spots. After back-to-back defeats, Rangers got back to winning ways in the Scottish Premiership. Ryan Kent's second half goal was enough to secure them a 1-0 win at Ross County.
Yeah, still not a hope they're going to catch Celtic, but anyway.
No, it means that Derd's side are now moved back to within 13 points of leader Celtic at the top of the table. UEFA have joined the Premier League in banning pre-match handshakes in their competitions until further notice. It's after recommendations from the World Health Organization to minimise the potential transmission of the coronavirus. It means there'll be no handshakes in the Champions League and Europa League matches played next week.
And we've taken Alan Borden the big red bench today as well. You came in as like to ask
Yeah, I was trying. I was looking forward to giving you a hug as well today.
We've got to be. You can't be too careful.
I waited all week.
I'm sorry, buddy.
In Gaelic games in the little National Football League, Cork have lost out to Donegal and Bannishan this afternoon. Donegal 2-6, Cork 8 points was the final score there.
Yeah, a bit of a surprise for that one, considering the run that Cork were on, and Donegal kind of in a bit of relegation bother with that result. Certainly helping Donegal in that regard, but I suppose long trip up to Ballyshannon is always going to have an impact. Kind of poor kind of time weather wise as well. But
yeah, it's a long old trek. All right, the last time I was there now was for the Failing the Gael under 14. we went up to Killybegs.
About 40 years ago, is it?
Yeah, it was a long time ago now, but I can still remember. It's been a big old journey. Haven't ventured back since, but you never know. And Camogie, Cork have had a comfortable win over Kilkenny in Páirc Uí Chaoimh this afternoon. 2-17 to 9 points was the final score. Elsewhere in Division 2, Cork were away to Kildare, and Cork 1-22, Kildare 3 points was the final score. In the Allianz National Hurling League, it finished Galway 3-21, Tipperary 3-13, and Mara Trasany Callig has this report.
Full-time Galway 3-21, Tipperary 3-13. After a remarkable second-half comeback, Galway survive in the league. Three goals will always give you a comfortable lead. Tipperary's John McGrath was on fire during a very stop-start first half. He hit the net twice, while Jason Ford scored a beauty on the cusp of half-time. Galway were against the wind for that half, but really their touch was nowhere near the Premier's, and only for the accuracy of Evan Nyland, they would have been in more trouble. The Galway full-back line continued to malfunction for a lot of the second half, but Conor Whelan, after a pass from Brian Kincannon, who was inspirational for the Westerners, popped the ball beyond the reach of Brian Hogan. This really woke the hosts up, but Tipperary always did enough to keep their noses in front until Whelan broke through again for another goal to put Galway into the lead for the first time. A second goal from Cathal Mannion really gave the home fans something to cheer about as they won the second half and the game. Full-time, Galway 3-21, Tipperary 3-13.
And in the relegation playoff, it finished Westmeath 1-17, Carlow 2-8, which means Carlow are now relegated. And on to rugby, where France's perfect record in Six Nations has come to an end. They've lost to Scotland by 28 points to 17, meaning there won't be a Grand Slam winner this year. Two Sean Maitland tries for the hosts at Murrayfield gave them the second win of their campaign.
A ridiculous sending off for France as well.
Yeah, the prop, he lashed out really. I know he's a history of getting involved in the wrong crowd, and he's playing at Montpellier at the moment. They've kind of brought him back in. I think he was in trouble with the law a few times, but Mohamed House is his name, and he just lashed out against Jamie Ritchie, the Scottish number six.
It's a great photograph of Jamie Ritchie's nose on the other side of his face after that punch was connected. But I mean, like, what goes through a fella's head in that moment, punching a guy square in the face, knowing there's 20 cameras watching the game and he's not going to get away with it?
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. Look, especially everyone talks about discipline in the modern game, and look, majority of the players in modern rugby and in modern sport can control their emotions, but it seems that certain people just lose the head, and like you said, especially in the front row, when you lose a player in that position, you have to automatically bring on another front row and take them away from either your back row or your back three. So away from home in Murrayfield as well, that essentially meant the game was over. So yeah, look, it's a crazy decision really. You know, there's nothing to benefit really in hitting someone anymore.
You're not
going to get
back in the day, was there?
Yeah, you're not going to get away with it, like you said. All the cameras, all the replays, the TMO, or the video referees. So it's a crazy decision really. And look, he'll have to learn from it, or else it'll do his career no good. And on to golf, where Rory McIlroy has gotten his final round on the Arnold Palmer Invitational underway. The County Down man is 4 under, 2 shots off the lead, held by England's Tyrrell Hatton.
All right, cheers for that, Tomás. Just look, going back to the Six Nations, I mean, like, that result today obviously blows the whole tournament wide open.
Yeah, it does. Look, the only thing now is obviously the Ireland-Italy game is... it's not going to be played in the next month, you would imagine, 6 weeks.
And will it be played at all?
Yeah, that's the thing. But look, if Ireland go to France and win, then they're in a position to win the Six Nations. Look, if they lose, it's that the Italy game is essentially just about getting up to second or third in the table. But you would imagine, in terms of revenues that it creates, the RFU in particular won't want to miss out on a home game in Dublin, where obviously just not the tickets, but the commercial
merchandise
and yeah, exactly, and drinking everything on top of that. So look, I think it'll be fitting by the end of the season, you know, once hopefully the virus kind of plateaus or settles down. Or but I think they'll have to play the game. I don't think it'll be a case of awarding the home team a winner or, you know, awarding a draw.
Conflict maybe. Or
yeah, it's mad. Look, but the thing is, Ireland are going to win that game whenever it's played. Yeah. So do they just give Ireland 4 points or 5 points or whatever be the case? But yeah, it's just a pity the way the whole thing, it looks like it's all, it would should have all come down to the final weekend with France, England and Ireland in the mix. So
yeah,
it's just a pity the way it's worked out.
Yeah, it's going to be massively anticlimactic next weekend, isn't it? It's going to be
unless France hammer Ireland, which look or beat Ireland well and win the thing, or England win it. But from an Irish point of view, even if they'd managed to get a result over in France, they can't really celebrate anything because they're so unsure whether this Italian game will be played. Like, so
no guarantee, of course, that the game in Paris is going to go ahead next week either.
I'd be surprised if it does, to be honest, at this stage, with, you know, they've shut down the northern half of Italy. Mm-hmm. And like advised everyone to more or less go into quarantine or stay out of the public. That seems a little bit too late, but France, obviously the virus is only kind of picking up momentum there, same as what we have here in Ireland. So yeah, you'd imagine like letting 50,000-60,000 people come into one area where they're going to be in bars and everything, it just doesn't make sense at the moment. They'll probably make a call on that early this week, which will make sense from a safety point of view. And look, on to cricket as well, where Ireland's cricketers have lost their T20 series against Afghanistan after they fell to a 21-run defeat in the second game in India. After being set a total of 185 to win, Andrew Balburn's team were only able to reach 163 in their 20 overs. Afghanistan secured the three-match series, having also won Friday's opener. And on to basketball finally, where in the Men's Super League, DBS Aina 98, Colin CNS Neptune 88 points, and in the Women's Super League, Ambassador UCC Glamire 69 points, DCU Mercy 65. Singleton Super Value Brunel and WAT Wildcats have gone to overtime.
All right, Tomás, thanks for the win and a scoreline from that Brunel and Wildcats game. We get to that as soon as we get it. Man United still leading Man City by a goal to nil, 85 minutes on the clock there. Busy weekend in the Red FM division, the Red FM hurling leagues, I should say. Results from Division 1 today: St Finbarr's 5-14, Killawn 9, Blackrock 3-18, Douglas 13 points, Sarsfields 1-20, Newtown Shandon 14 points, Ballymartle 2-8, Bishopstown 1-8, Newcestown 1-14, Charleville 1-14, Cantorque 20 points, Glen Rovers 13, and Bride Rovers 12 points, Napier Sheikh 1-9. Just going back to Ireland heading to Paris next week, Tomás. I mean, like, obviously France are going to be hurting after today's defeat. I mean, like, they're obviously going to be fired up and wanting to go out and beat Ireland next week. So that's made Ireland's task, I suppose, all that more difficult in Paris next Saturday night.
I think it has. I think you're going to see a reaction from this French team. And to be fair, they've had a lot of momentum. Even when they went behind, they scored an unbelievable try at the end through Olivon. It was like typical multi-phase French play, offloading, and then just the brute power at the end. But I think they have such momentum at home that I think will be difficult. They had the office for Ireland, even you go back, you know, when Ireland won the Grand Slam and Johnny Sexton had that 45-yard drop goal.
Yeah.
That was an Ireland team that had momentum, that was playing well, that had, you know, I suppose players in form like Murray and even Sexton himself. Like, Ireland are searching for a bit of fluidity and form in their attack, whereas this French team, I think they're in a better place than they were 2 years ago. And realistically, that game itself, France probably should have nicked it, bar Sexton pulling an unbelievable dropkick out of the fire. So fast forward 2 years, and look, Ireland have gone downhill, really. It's a new management team, kind of looking for, personnel to come in and put their hand up and say, this is my position. You know, there's decision to make at nine now. Do they go with Murray, or do they give the Ulster man a chance?
John Cooney.
I think they probably have to. Well, if they had played the Italian game, they definitely would have started John Cooney. But the fact that it's going to be such a difficult proposition going over to Italy, they might opt for the experience of Murray. But I think Cooney's performances with Ulster this season probably mean that he deserves a chance to start the Six Nations game. And
I suppose he's a good man to come on and finish a game out for you as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. Do you look at that combination and say, look, with half an hour to go or 20 minutes to go, we're still in the game, and you want Cooney to come on and pick up the pace. So yeah, look, there's all these things for a coach to decide, and obviously having the Italian game would have been a lovely opportunity to do a bit of combinations, change a few around, experiment with the team, and then figure out whether you start with a different team or kind of go with your old reliables in Murray and Sexton at half back. I think it's going to be a difficult assignment for Ireland if it goes ahead, and I'd probably back France to get the win.
It's interesting actually seeing team sheets being released these days. They don't mention the word substitutes or replacements anymore, it's finishers, which I suppose is more accurate and stuff.
There'll be a lot of PC. I'm just trying to keep everyone included, but
trying to keep
you're telling that to your kids when you're not picking them in shooter. Yeah,
you're a finisher.
Exactly. But look, I guess it probably is a 23 man game, and in rugby in particular. So look, I can see somewhat the merit of that. And look, some guys are naturally, I suppose, whether you're a like some guys like would have the mass that they wouldn't be able to carry around for 60 minutes, 70 minutes, so they might be able to do 20, come on, do a lot of damage physically, whether it's at scrum time or whatever. And then you might have the guys like a scrum half like Cooney or whoever it is coming on to pick up the tempo when the other players have tired. So yeah, you can see that there might be some sense to saying finisher or whatever, but look, old school, I think, realistically, or so. Like, that would be my opinion of it. I don't know where you stand on it.
All right, 89 minutes now on the clock at Old Trafford. Manchester United doing the best to hold out for this win. They still lead by a goal to nil thanks to Anthony Martial's first half strike. I'm briefly going to go back to Gaelic games and go in for Cork today over Kilkenny in the National Camogie League down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Going to hear briefly from boss Paddy Murray. He was speaking to Killian Whelan on the Camogie Association's live stream of the game today.
It is early days yet. We're trying out a lot of younger girls this year, so it's just a case of seeing how they develop along, and up to now we're happy, to be honest.
You got the opportunity to get those girls out there as well, and a few coming in off the bench.
Yeah, look, we could be down a number this year, so I suppose the key is we normally went to the league trying to find two players, but we might have to find a few more this year, and I think they're there. It's just a case of leaving them develop along, yeah.
Looking at things as well, you must be very happy with some of your leaders out there. I think the central spine dictated an awful lot of that game.
Yeah, they did, and look, that's what they're there for, really. A lot of them have 5 or 6 years put down, so you'd be expecting them now to move on, particularly when the so-called leaders are not with us at the moment, you know.
Looking at half time, you had a 7-point lead. You were probably coming out. Kilkenny hit you then hard, probably for the first 10 minutes. And I just think of one particular move though, that some of those senior players stood up, worked it, and you had some of them coming off the bench. Obviously, I'm just looking at my notes. Cliona Healy came in, got a goal and a point. Just at the time when maybe Kilkenny might have been just getting a little bit of a foot in the game.
Yeah, I suppose. Look, we made a couple of changes at that time. We just felt that a couple of girls were starting to tire. We've had fought one game in 5 weeks, so our fitness level probably isn't where it should be. Cliona did very well against Waterford and was probably sick during the week, and that's the reason she didn't start. But she's again a very young, good player with buckets of potential, so you'd be hoping that she'd be pushing on this year, you know.
But finally, Paddy, looking at that though, you mentioned there, but maybe your fitness is not up to the grade. You were running off the shoulder there on occasion. Some of the camogie you played was a fine example of it.
Yeah, it is, but I suppose you've got to judge yourself on Galway, and Galway are much farther ahead than we are, so we're under pressure. We have to play well, really, to have any chance against the likes of them.
That's Paddy Murray there speaking after today's win to Killian Whelan. Watch the game today on the Camogie Association's live stream on Facebook. Cork were very, very impressive, even though we heard Paddy saying the fitness isn't there. They haven't, they're still missing a couple of players, they're still trying to find players, but Cork very, very impressive today against Kilkenny side, who they've certainly had their battles with over the last couple of years as well, so looking well there. In a game that was played in every type of weather today. I think there was hail, rain, sleet, snow, and at one stage it looked like a summer's day, and the pitch held up okay, but yeah, a good one for Cork today, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's talking about, you know, finding players and adding to the strength of the panel. And maybe, I think it's always good for teams to get an influx of fresh talent, particularly, you know, when they're younger and they've kind of no, I suppose, fears of, you know, big performances, big days. I think from that, my own career, when you're younger, you have that ambivalence and you have that confidence because you've been kind of untarnished by bad days or by bad experiences. So I think any team getting a couple of young girls or a couple of young lads into the fray, it does add a bit of a freshness, and then it kind of brings the older kind of crew along and the more experienced crew along, gives them a bit of impetus too. So yeah, hopefully they'll keep finding a few girls to come through and bring Cork Camogie to further strengths.
Now 2 minutes of the 5 minutes added on at the end of the game at Old Trafford, played still Manchester United leading by 8-0 against City. Going to talk boxing now, and a young Cork boxer is headed to California for the next stage of his career. James Power, who's Ireland's youngest ever professional, is headed out to the West Coast to advance his career, and he still hasn't turned 18 yet. I spoke to James earlier on today. Right, delighted to be joined on the line by a Cork boxer, James Power. James, how are you, boy?
I'm not too bad, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for taking the call. I've been wanting to get you on the show for quite a while, and seeing that you're moving out to California was the perfect time to get you on the show. Tell us how the move to California has come about, and how excited are you to be relocating out there full-time to launch a boxing career?
I'm very excited. It's a dream come true for me. It's an opportunity to continue to do the sport that I love every day in my life, and I'm blessed to receive it.
So how did the move...
I suppose the move came about because, my situation at home just wasn't ideal, you know, to continue to do the sport. You know, because of school and whatever, and then school finished, I was forced to train myself, you know, Monday to Friday, and then train with a coach on the weekends. So, because there was no coach situated locally.
Yeah.
So it was clear that my future wasn't certain in the sport, and I'm lucky enough that Ken Shear, who's now my manager, reached out to me and asked if I wanted to go to Los Angeles and see their setup, get to know them, and see if I like it there. And if I did, you know, try and get something, I suppose, sealed and get a contract signed and stay out there. I've spent a long time getting to know, like, the entire team, and I feel like they're the great team to have behind me moving forward. So I've signed a contract, and I'm heading out there very shortly to pursue this career.
And obviously the weather, I imagine, is a bit better in California for when you're training anyway.
Yeah, it's a lot different, but we'll adjust to it and we'll get to work.
So how impressed were you with the setup over there? And I mean, like, it's obviously, I suppose, probably light years away from what you were used to, was it?
Definitely. You know, I could live as a professional athlete, training multiple times a day. I had a coach who was at every training session, which I wasn't used to because, you know, as I said, Monday to Friday I was alone. So it was very different, even just being in a gym atmosphere, and which will be, you know, not something I was used to for a while. But just being in there with other fighters, I'm learning so much, I'm enjoying it, there's a great buzz, and, you know, it was perfect, a dream come true.
And obviously the standard there is obviously quite high, so that's going to in turn help raise your game, I guess.
Yeah, there's pros and against, you know, America's a large place. You know, it'll be very difficult to stand out. There's a lot of top talents out there, but, you know, it's you know, you don't know who you're going to be in the gym with. I've been, you know, training alongside brilliant fighters, big names, and just picking up little things as I'm going. And I'm only 18. You know, I continue to do that for years to come and never stop learning, and, you know, possibilities are endless.
It's a huge move as well, personally. I mean, like, moving away from home is a big thing regardless, but moving to California is a massive, massive deal, I suppose. And I suppose you couldn't really do that, I suppose, without the support of your family behind you, I guess.
100%. You know, it's it was a big decision, and I am very grateful to have people in my life who I can turn to for advice and support. And, you know, they were all, I suppose, supporting me on this move. They knew how much this sport meant to me and means to me. They understand that this is my entire life. So no matter what decision I made, you know, they were going to be behind me completely and just be there to help me whenever I need them. You know, I couldn't do it without them, my family especially, you know, my friends. They've all shown me an incredible amount of support, and, you know, I couldn't thank them really for it. You know, I couldn't thank them enough, to be honest.
Yeah, and I suppose getting to the top in any sport requires sacrifices, and I suppose this is, I suppose moving away from home is probably the biggest sacrifice you can make.
At the moment, yeah, it's a big sacrifice, but I don't see it as a sacrifice. It's more of an investment. You know, this is what needs to be done. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it right. I'm going all in. I'm getting all out. You know, people have advised me to go to college and do boxing, you know, as often as I can and just tip away for the next few years. But, you know, I'd be cheating myself if I'm not putting in the work, you know, morning, noon and night. You know, I just wouldn't like to step into the ring not fully prepared, not on my best. And, you know, at least now with this move, I can, you know, focus on boxing solely for the future and just give him my all and give him my best shot.
Certainly. Take us back, James. Tell us how you got started in boxing, and what was it about boxing that stuck with you, and why did you stick with boxing?
I was 9 years old when I first stepped foot inside the gym. It was family that got me there. You know, my uncle was a trainer, so it was something that was natural. I was just going to try it out, but since the moment I stepped foot there, something clicked, and I just enjoyed every moment. Training, you know, anyone that has trained with me or been in the gym, you know, since I was 9 years old will tell you I haven't missed a session. I loved every second there and still do. I just feel like home in there. It's genuinely what I love, and I suppose I can't put into words, but it's what I suppose what I am going to do for my future. But And I'm very glad to be able to do for my future.
I suppose you've had a very interesting career already, James Minnick. You've had to fight in Mexico and Hungary to get professional fights because of your age. So it's not exactly, I suppose, the traditional path for Irish boxers to go on, I guess.
Yeah, I turned professional at the age of 17. You know, I've been waiting to turn pro since I was about 12 or 13. I was waiting for my 18th birthday to turn over anyway, but the opportunity came. It was something that no Irish person had ever done before, so that instantly, you know, grabbed my attention. It's a new path, something no one has ever done, and something different. You know, in this game, be different or be forgotten. And, you know, I like the idea of this journey being authentic to me, this journey being something that I can call my own. I went to Mexico at the age of 17, took out a boxing license because there's very few countries in the world where you can fight under 18. I've had 3 fights in Mexico, 2 fights in Budapest because their commission allowed me to fight underage. I'm 18 now, I'm turning 18 in April, and, you know, I can fight anywhere.
Fantastic. So have you got a fight lined up yet, or is it a case of settling into life in California first and then picking it up from there?
I'm waiting to head back over. As soon as the paperwork is through and the visa is issued, I'll head back to California, start training. I'm always ready, so it shouldn't take long for me to get to peak condition again. Get a fight as soon as possible, and once the ball is rolling, just keep going, be as active as I can, make up for last time, and fingers crossed I get an Irish debut very soon.
And, I mean, like, you wouldn't be doing this, you wouldn't be moving to California if you didn't think, I suppose, a world title could be in your career path down the line. Is that something you think about, and is that something you focus on?
Definitely. That's something that every young fighter has ambitions towards, and something that is probably the biggest goal of mine. I'd love to get you a World Youth title, which is for fighters under the age of 23. And then in years to come, you know, when I gain some more experience, target bigger titles on a larger scale. I'd love to come home, you know, and fight in Ireland, you know, Cork especially, with a world title or something along those lines. And that would be another dream come true for me and something I am chasing and focusing on.
And I suppose you mentioned fighting in Ireland, but I suppose fighting in Cork would be even better, wouldn't it?
That would be perfect. I tried to create publicity around it, and I put up an Instagram post. I got a lot of attention and a lot of support. A fight event did happen in Cork. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to go on it due to the Leaving Cert. But, you know, in years down the line, if I'm still progressing and, you know, improving as a fighter, and I do reach that pinnacle of the sport, when I have more pull and more of a say, and you know when I can put more demands in a contract, I will try my best to get a fight in Cork, and it will be a dream come true, as I said.
Another Corkman who's made waves internationally, of course, is Spike O'Sullivan. Do you know Spike? Have you gotten advice off him about being a professional and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, I was actually at Spike's fight in Los Angeles before I turned pro.
Yeah,
you know, I was out there supporting him. Spike's a fellow Corkman. He's made a career out of this sport. He's a warrior. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He's doing great things to represent, you know, our county, our country. And if I can achieve half things that he's achieved and fought half names he's fought, you know, I'm doing well for myself.
James, it's been a pleasure talking to you, buddy. Best of luck in California. We'll be checking in, I suppose, over the course of the year and how your career is progressing. But thanks for talking to us, and the very best of luck with the movement.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Very, very enjoyable.
Buddy, I'll talk to you soon, right?
Very, very enjoyable chat there with James Power today. Man, I wanted to get on the show for quite a while, so I thought him moving to California was a good opportunity too. So you can really tell there, Tomás, he's really a wise head on young shoulders.
Yeah, very ambitious, but seems to be very switched on. And look, he's not getting ahead of himself, but definitely has lofty ambitions. But he realizes where he is and where he has to get to. Even kind of hear him speak about Spike there, you can kind of sense that he seems confident that he can kind of try and achieve something similar to what Spike has. Probably going to be different kind of fighter than Spike, but look, it's great to hear that kind of story, and a guy willing to take a big chance and move across the world. It just shows how confident he is in his own ability. Look, that sport is obviously very, very
tough,
difficult
sport,
savage sport. You're moving away from home, you're going to a whole new environment, no support structures in terms of friends or family, and then the physical nature of that sport and just the mental nature of it. If you're not mentally right or anyway mentally fragile, it's a tough sport. So when you're the other side of the world, makes it all the more difficult. So hats off to him for taking the opportunity, giving it a shot, and look, good luck to him. Hopefully he'll be a world champion down the line.
Definitely, fingers crossed. Alright, Manchester United have beat Man City 2-0. We'll get your report on that one in just a sec. A reminder of our competition as well, tickets to give away to Cork City and Bohemians. All you have to do is text the word Rebel Army and your name, please, to 086 8104 106, and you can send us a WhatsApp as well, 086 8104 106. Rachel Newell has been in touch. She says, Rory, do you know what the secret sound is? Give us a clue, I'll bring you a Terry's chocolate orange. Tempting, Rachel, very, very tempting. The all new easier to win secret sound back on Breakfast on Red FM tomorrow morning at the new time of 7:45. So tune in to Breakfast tomorrow morning from 6 for more on the secret sound. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk Zen MMA, and we're going to talk that United win over Man City.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Rory and Tomás here with you until 7 p.m. full time from Old Trafford. Peter Smith.
United 2, City 0, as United do the double over City for the first time since the Ferguson era. Anthony Martial opened the scoring in the first half with a volley pass to Edison from 12 yards after an ingenious chip free kick from Fernandes. where I thought it levelled, but VAR decreed offside. Foden's shot was brilliantly saved by De Gea before McTominay scored from 25 yards, 6 minutes into stoppage time after a missed throw and ball from Edison. United 2, City 0.
That second goal for United was something else, wasn't it?
Yeah, look, another mistake by Ederson. Like, he should have saved the first goal by Martial too. Realistically, should have stopped it. And then, look, I suppose game was up anyway. He was trying to play a throw to one of his players, and obviously overcooked it. And a great finish by Tomlinson, to be fair. So yeah, look, United seemed to have momentum back under Ole Gunnar, to be fair to them. I think Fernandes has made a massive difference to that United team. Just brought a bit of class and a bit of confidence. It's amazing. What
a swagger about him, isn't there? He's like,
that's what you saw say with United, or you know, back in the day. And I think it was probably a sad sight to see it go. Even if you're not a United fan, you still want the traditional powers to have that swagger, and you want to tune in and watch them. Whereas before, when the last couple of years, there was nothing really to tune into. I know a few big signings that haven't worked out, but he looks like he's added something different to this United team.
All right. Congratulations as well to Courtman Ryan Sheehan, who has won the WBC International World Title after he defeated Clai Rung at Sassi Prapa of Thailand. That was at the Capital One card on the National Basketball Arena in Tala tonight. So Ryan picking up the WBC International Bantamweight title, recently had him in to preview the fight that we put online earlier on in the week on redfm.ie. Congratulations to Ryan, congratulations to all his teammates, as Simon Warren. Is an absolutely fantastic win for Ryan. I'm sure we'll get him on the show soon to talk about that fantastic win. But we are going to continue talking combat action. A Cork man has come up with a novel way for men to practice good mental health. Former MMA fighter Graham McCormick has started a Zen MMA program, which is MMA training, which also features mindfulness sessions. It's taking place at Warrior Fitness in Carrigtwohill. Graham Collins made to talk about it. All right, delighted to be joined in studio by our old buddy Graham McCormick. Graham, how are you, sir?
I'm very good, Rory. How are you?
I'm good, man. It's good. It's been a while since you've been on our show. I think it's been 2 years since you've been on our show. And over the last couple of years, it's been an incredible journey, I suppose, for yourself to get to this point.
Yeah, it was, I suppose, a bit of a turbulent one. I mean, 2 years ago, I was coming up to my return fight around that time on Cage Legacy. That was my return fight after, I suppose, 7 year layoff, which was a big gap, let's say. But at that time, I felt confident, that I was coming in. I didn't believe in ring rust or anything like that. But unfortunately, I was not cleared medically just after that. So that took a bit, my life took a bit of a turn at that point. I didn't really know what to do because I wasn't cleared to fight again in the Republic. So I said, what am I going to do? And I had been coaching, all right, even just leading up to that point, just kind of on and off. So I just said, look, maybe I'll step more into the coaching aspect. And I was also doing a lot of kind of blogging on mental health around that time as well. So they kind of coincided, and I suppose that took off from there then.
How frustrating was it, I suppose, when you were not cleared to fight? And I mean, how upsetting was, and how hard was that to get over?
It was absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I mean, I attached so much to it emotionally. I mean, in 2012, the last fight I had was, I was knocked out in 12 seconds. I was doing pretty well in my career leading up to that point. But that 12 seconds, that really tore me apart. And it tore me apart so much that I walked away from the sport, and my life just completely spiraled out of control. My mental health went down the drain. I was abusing alcohol and drugs to suppress all these emotions. It was just turbulent, to say the least. But I suppose, when I came back after that point, like after that layoff, the confidence was there in a way, but I was still kind of fighting outside the cage and everything else. There was just a lot going on even from that point. And the fact that I wasn't cleared medically and attached so much emotion to it, that was my comeback fight from such a long layoff, it just broke my heart, really. It really did.
How do you get over something like that?
I suppose it's not really that you get over it. I still think about it. I still think, that could have been, But I suppose it's just how you feel around it. Like when it comes up now, we just kind of go, well, look, it just wasn't meant to be, and
what was the issue then? Was it something that came up in an MRI or something? Was it?
Yeah, so like since the last fight in 2012, there was new safety regulations brought in. And that was unfortunately because of the Portuguese lad, who he actually fought one of McGregor's opponents, training partners, and unfortunately passed away. What was found on his brain was a thing called CTE, and it's, I suppose, a lot of impact sports will have it. A lot of American footballers will have it. a lot of rugby players would have it. The research has been done, the evidence is there. So they said, look, we need to kind of regulate this and put in procedures around that. So new safety regulations were brought in. I had to have GP clearance, my bloods had to be okay, and I had to have an MRI in my brain. So GP clearance was fine, bloods were okay, but a red flag showed up on my MRI. So I had to go to Beaumont Hospital to see a neurologist, and when I went up, we were just chatting away, and he had me doing kind of like physical movements just to make sure the brain-body connection was still okay. And he looked at my hand, and you can see it, Rory, but for those who cannot, it's a big, massive scar on my hand, for about 6 to 7 inches long. And that's where I suppose, it was self-harm, but it went too far, and I almost lost my life because of that, and I actually nearly had my hand amputated because of that. He's seen that, and he just questioned me on more along the lines of my mental health, as opposed to what showed up in the MRI, and he just said, no, that's it, I'm not passing you. And the reason being is that he was just afraid that, let's say, if I went back and I fought for the belt, which I was, that was supposed to be my comeback fight in 2017, he said, look, I don't know what's going to happen if you lose. I don't know if you're going to go in, try and end your life again, or what's going to happen, so I'm not taking a chance.
Now, I imagine you're thankful to him now, though, for that intervention, are you?
Yeah. Again, it's how you look back on it, and it's how you feel on that. I am very grateful for that. I'm very grateful for that, you know, that time, because it was just kind of like a crossroads. It was like, okay, I can go back down the MMA route, you know, but unfortunately I can't. So it's kind of like, now I had to look at my options, I had to look at other things, I had to explore more areas of my life, and like my talents and what I was good at, and you know, everything else. So it definitely opened up a new doorway for me.
And you've used, I suppose, your experiences with mental health, with self-harm, as you mentioned, to become, is motivational speaker the right phrase?
Yeah, I just like to talk, Rory, basically. So it's like, it's like, you can term what you want, inspirational, motivational, whatever, I just like to speak, really. Especially around that area, that field, let's say, for lack of a better term, the mental health area. Yeah,
and just talking to kids and getting them to open up, I suppose, has been
as I said, I love to talk. I have a great connection with just about everybody. There's no judgment with me, there's no crap. I talk from my emotions, I talk from my heart. If you're talking about the weather or what happened on Jeremy Kyle, I don't want to hear it, because that's surface level stuff, and I don't want to hear it. I want to know what you're going through, I want to know how you feel about things, I want to know if you doubt yourself, and see if I can help you in that area. I suppose I gel with just about everybody, right, when you're talking your emotions, but I really gel with teenagers. I love going into schools, secondary schools, I love going into community centres and youth cafes, and just like, the readers or the listeners can't see it obviously, but I have a big tattoo on my neck, and the second they see that, they're like, oh, he's kind of not what we're used to. We're used to the person, you know, coming in and talking at us,
yeah,
you know, or telling us what to do or how to feel. And it's like, it's the complete opposite with me, you know. I hold space for them, I let them open up if they feel that. I hope that I hold such a good enough and comfortable space that they feel they can share. And that's the main thing for me, you know.
And that's kind of, I suppose, the idea behind Zen MMA, which you started.
Yeah, it is. It would, it, like,
it's combining both of those things, your MMA love and this.
Yeah, so for me, I suppose, this, you know, the Zen Men program, or the Zen Male Teen program that I've put together, it is, I suppose, it is everything that I've used myself, and I've combined it all to get from where I was to where I am. Now, we are all individual, I can't guarantee results like that, and everything else, I can't set an expectation for you, because if that's not met, you're going to be frustrated, disappointed, and so on. But what I can say is that if you allow yourself to experience this at all levels and fully commit, anything is possible. And what's involved in it is 2 MMA sessions a week. There is daily mindfulness practice. On a Friday evening, we have a group coaching call. It's kind of like where we all get online, like Skype, and we just chat away online, so you don't have to go anywhere or do anything. You can do it from home. And then on a Saturday or a Sunday, whichever the majority agree, there's kind of like a group outing. Now, the group outing is a surprise. So I tell you where to be, what to bring, and what we're doing is a complete surprise. So there's a fun element to it. It's not all serious. I mean, for me, to be honest, life is just for everyone, really, let's be honest. It's just too serious. You know, it can be at times. And I want the Zen Men program to be a place where, like, if you've ever come across me teaching, like, I'll have a laugh and a joke mid-technique. I'll have a laugh and a joke. I'll say, well, I done that wrong, whoops, or whatever. I lighten things up as much as possible, because mental health is a serious topic, and I get that. But if you're all serious about it all the time, you're in a state of fear yourself, and you're kind of adding to it and everything else. And it's just like, whoa, we just need to put in a mindful pause and slow down and just have a more lighthearted approach and take some time to ourselves throughout the day.
And with the MMA aspect of it as well, I guess, I mean, like, you know yourself, I know myself, the benefits of a good workout on your own mental health.
Yeah, look, I was nearly 19 stone. I was 18 stone, 10 pounds. And my dad said, look, you need to get out and start moving your body. You need to get out and walk. And I was just like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm lying on this couch, comfort eating myself to death. And I'm overthinking everything. I'm actually kind of enjoying this. Mm. Because I hated myself and I didn't care. So what I did was, my dad was always pushing on me, but you know, like, come on, let's do it, let's move. So I set the timer on my phone for 1 minute. Mm. Just to get outside the house, get up, move for 1 minute. I was nearly 19 stone at this point. Bear in mind, I used to fight at 11. So, big jump.
Yeah,
it was just a small one, yeah. So I set the timer for a minute, and I got outside the door, and I walked up just my road for about 30 seconds, and I remember just kind of collapsing on the floor and just saying, I can't, like. And I fell to the floor, and I just started crying. I burst into tears. And I looked behind me, and there was my mother, because she always had this habit of kind of following me the second I went out the door. She didn't know if I was coming back or not. So I seen her, I was bursting into tears and everything else, I was just crying, just sitting on the floor. So I got up and I went back and I sat back down on the couch. And what was going on for me there was, I was just kind of like, Jesus Christ, look, you can't even get outside the house for a minute, you're a waste, or look at you, you're defeated, you're broken, you're this, you're that. But I was focusing on the 30 seconds that I didn't achieve, and that was leading up to that minute. What I wasn't focusing on was the 30 seconds that I actually got out of the house, and that was the first time I ever got out of my house for months. I mean, months. My parents would go up to the shop and get me stuff. I would have people calling the house. I wouldn't leave the house. So I got the fact that I got out of the house for 30 seconds, I actually applauded myself mentally for that. I got in some positive self-talk there, and I was like, look, just chill out, well done, 30 seconds, we'll expand on that. And the reason I chose to expand on that was because I got a good feeling from that. I really did. I had a very minute, I will say it was very small, but it was a small sense of achievement there and then. And that was a big change for me then, from that point on. I like, in our sessions, in the Zen MMA sessions, like when you start moving your body, obviously endorphins are released. It's like, oh, you can't do anything about it. It's just happening and that's it. So the mixture is 45 minutes, right, of warm-up first, about 10 minutes, and then technique for that 35-minute period. And then the last 15 minutes is mindfulness. So it's, you've just released so much endorphins, all the good feelings are coming around, you know, sense of achievement, everything else, and now we're also doing mindfulness on top of that. And people are going home floating. It's amazing. It's amazing to see, it's amazing to feel. I do the programme as well with the participants. I don't feel I'm any different from anyone on the programme, just because I'm the coach, in quotes, or whatever. I got through the programme as well myself, because I believe in it so much, you know.
And for people listening to this, Graeme, who maybe are struggling with their mental health, even their own health, and want to get involved with your programme, how do they go about it?
You can chat to me anywhere online, so that would be social media. You can chat to me on Instagram, give me a follow and I'll follow you straight back. It's under @TheRealWorldBuddhist. So that's Instagram. And then on Facebook you can catch me under my own name. I have, again, a followers page, in quotes, I don't like that term, but I don't know what else to call it, and that's under my own name, so that's Graeme McCormack. So anywhere online would be great. I'd love to chat to people there.
What are the plans, I suppose, outside of this MMA program for the rest of the year?
Jesus, Rory, you said no deep questions. Look, I'm not too sure. I'm currently enjoying the present moment and everything that I'm experiencing with that. I'm actually enjoying life, and I'm very
good to hear, man.
Optimistic. Thank you very much. I'm very optimistic and hopeful for the future. I'm also a human being, so I will have days where I won't be myself, and that's okay, but I have a plan for that. So whatever the future holds, I know it's going to be good.
Graeme, it's been a pleasure talking to you, buddy. Thanks so much for coming in, and best of luck with the Zen MMA program.
Thank you very much, Rory. You're a gent.
Yeah, fantastic to have my old pal Graeme McCormack in to talk with that Zen MMA program happening in Warrior Fitness in Carrigtwohill. Very honest stuff, very emotional stuff there from Graeme, as he spoke about his troubles and how he's trying to do his best, I suppose, to help other people along. And this is a very, very good idea. It's exercise and mindfulness, which is, it's a simple idea, but it's a very, very good one.
Yeah, look, powerful story there from him. And you know, just even hearing how he's just enjoying the present and living in the present. And probably that's a good lesson for a lot of us, is, you know, the question is, oh, what's next? What are you up to next? What's down the line? And we kind of forget to live in the here and now and enjoy that.
Definitely.
And I suppose the modern life as well, everyone is so switched on to everything, and you know, you can't turn off and just experience it now with your friends or your family or whatever. Like, so he's obviously embraced his kind of expertise and the MMA side of things, and that helps him escape and release those endorphins that he was speaking about. I think that giving everyone a chance at the end of the session then to do that 10-15 minutes of mindfulness is, you know, it's great. So And you can see how open he is to helping other people, and you know he's encouraging them to contact him and even talk to him and tell their story. So look, fabulous story there, and you know, fair play to him, and look, we wish him all the best. And Nuki, you obviously know him really well, so. Yeah. You know, you did a bit of training with him too, did you?
Yeah, I've known Graham for 10 years, so it's good to see Graham in a good place, and it's good to see him, like, over the last couple of years. I said it to him in the interview, is it a motivational speaker, and he doesn't see himself as that as such, yeah. But he's doing some fantastic work in kind of motivating kids and teenagers, as he said there, and getting them to consider their mental health, which I suppose isn't talked about as openly as it should be, perhaps. No. And Graham's done a fantastic job with it.
And that's the power of sport as well, that, you know, you can get, I suppose, people, especially boys, that mightn't traditionally open up to teachers or adults or whatever, you know, get them in that environment where they're with their mates or they're with someone they look up to, a coach or whatever, and they can chat about, you know, things that are going wrong or things that they're finding difficult, and have a fella like him to look up to. Look, this kind of illustrates the power of sport and, you know, the benefits of sport for kids. So, yeah, look, fantastic work done by him.
Yes, certainly. So, all right, running out of time, just going to hear briefly from our Galway boss, Shane O'Neill, after they beat Tipperary today in the Alliance National Hurling League.
It didn't look like that we'd be talking about a coin toss for playing against Wexford next weekend.
Yeah, I'm not too sure maybe what you were expecting, but I suppose we're playing the All-Ireland champions here, and it was a tough match, tough first half, really tough second half, but from our perspective we're just delighted that we got the win and that we're creating a really competitive squad at the moment.
By no means a perfect performance, I'm sure you'd say yourself, but at the same time I'm sure you must be very happy as well that they kept the heads up, they didn't drop, and they kept going until eventually Conor Whelan broke through, and that just gave them the confidence and the lift.
Yeah, in fairness, we're actually trying to do the right things all the time. It's not going to happen all the time, particularly in March, so we're just trying to create something with the lads to continue to trust in what they're doing, and they are. And I thought over, particularly in the second half, that they played extremely well.
They definitely did, and the interesting thing as well was the fact that they managed to outplay Tipperary's, and you can see the Tipperary confidence ebb away, which is what probably your game plan was: keep doing things the right way. It might not always work out, but if you keep focus on the right thing, it eventually works out.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what we've been trying to do, but I suppose the whole thing has been based on having a really strong work ethic, and I think from the word go that was the case. It was disappointing to see the goal virtually from the throw-in, you know, maybe switched off at the start, weren't tuned in quickly enough, but after that did extremely well, except for just before half-time when they scored 1-1 or 1-2 very quickly, so we kind of possibly tuned out a small bit there, but overall happy enough, yeah.
How do you work on that tuning in and out? Because I know it's very easy for us to say watching it, but it takes a huge amount of concentration to stay on for over 70 minutes.
It does, but there's just so much happening now. Like the game has gone so tactical as well, so players are maybe expecting a particular matchup or expecting a player to go into a particular position, and then he doesn't. So it's about being able to react to those situations have sufficient communication on the pitch. So every game is different, though.
Hey, thank you very much for your time.
That's Shane O'Neill there speaking after Galway's win over Tipperary. Plenty of goals in that game, and looking very, very good indeed against Tipperary. Looked a bit lacklustre today, it has to be said. We are almost out of time. Our competition on the show tonight, we had a pair of tickets to give away to Cork City and Bohemians happening at Turner's Cross this coming Friday night. Hasn't been the best of starts for Cork City. Just one win in four games, beaten by St. Pat's on Friday night. So a lot of work to do for the Rebel Army, of course. The takeover still, or talk of a possible takeover still lurking in the background for the Rebel Army, so that's still there. But they're taking on Bohemians on Friday night, and fingers crossed they can get a result there like they did against Shelburne 2 weeks ago. But we were giving away a pair of tickets for that on the show tonight. All you have to do is text us in, Roared Rebel Army, and your name. And the name we have drawn out of the hat is Aisling Kelly from Carrigaline. Congratulations indeed. We'll be in touch about how you can get your tickets for Cork City against Bohemians this coming Friday night. We'll have to get you down to the cross tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. You'll have to get me a jersey first, though. I want to go down like a true fan.
Yeah. I mean, like we heard from Neil Fenn on yesterday's show, so still a lot of work for Cork City to do.
I assume you'll have the corporate box ready for me, and you know, the dinner and everything, three course meal and everything, will you?
Yeah, we'll have all that sorted. Yeah, it might be a fish supper from a local chipper, and the posh box might just be a seat with a covered stand in it. But
don't knock that. Don't knock that either.
Can't go wrong with that. But that's pretty much it from our show for you this evening. Thanks very much indeed for tuning our way on the Big Red Bench this evening. We'll be back next Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. unless all the sport gets cancelled because of the coronavirus, which, I'm joking aside, is a distinct possibility.
Yeah, it's got to that stage now where it's just accelerating, and I suppose it's just been passed on so much. Mm. Look, you hear new case after case now, day after day in Ireland, and look, we're all going to be exposed to it. To some extent, you hear the predictions from the HSE are pretty stark. So, look, it's a strong possibility that sport will have to be cancelled. And look, whatever's good for public health will have to happen. So, look, we may have a few weeks off,
Might have that, but hopefully Ireland and France will go ahead in the Six Nations next weekend. So looking forward to that one. Of course, Cork City taking on Bohemians next week as well. So a busy weekend of sport on the way. Right, we're out of time. Our podcast will be online shortly. You can get that on redextra.ie or on Apple Podcasts or Spotify Podcasts. We launched the Ladies Football Podcast with Ger McCarthy during the week, so you can get that on our podcast as well. And keep an eye out for future episodes on that. And as I say, follow us on social media at Big Red Bench on Twitter, on Instagram and on Facebook. We're back next Saturday from 6. Alan Donovan's up next with Green on Red. Bring you 3 hours of the best Irish music between now and 10 p.m. right here on Cork's Red FM Breakfast. On Cork's Red FM, back tomorrow morning from 6. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday night, folks, and we'll talk to you next weekend.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.